Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
He used to cover sporting. He used to cover the Chiefs. Now he covers everything. Okay, we get it. He's the columnist for the Kansas City Star, Sam McDowell, only on the program.
Sam McDowell brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. If you're looking for a great place to watch the games, Twin Peaks, go to TwinPeaksRestaurant.com. They're in Independence. They're in Olathe. They're in the Northland at the Boardwalk Shops. 29-degree man-sized draft beer, a made-from-scratch menu, TVs everywhere, the most scenic views in town. It's Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views at game time, and of course, anytime. They have the fights on. If the MMA or boxing is on, you know the fights are on at Twin Peaks. It is your fight headquarters. Check it out tonight, if you want happy hour coming up here in a little bit. 29-degree man-sized draft beer, premium cocktails served over ice balls. You got an extensive bourbon category, tequila category. Get the fellows together and have a little happy hour at Twin Peaks. Like I said, you can find them online at TwinPeaksRestaurant.com. Let's welcome Sam McDowell to the program. Sam, how are you?
Doing great. Glad to be here.
Doing super. What was the press box like when Patrick Mahomes got up as hobbled as he was?
Just, 75 people with their binoculars out wondering what he was doing on the sideline, because when he's in a coat, not the can't see the numbers. Yeah, you just gotta try to follow him and keep him around, see what he's doing.
Did you think he was coming back in the second half?
Yeah, I was actually a little bit surprised the way he raced back onto the field and late the first half.
You mean right after it happened when he went over there to get taped and then it was like they were out of time from the timeout and he jetted back out?
No, after they made him go, Andy Reid said, you can't play unless you go get this checked out and get the x-rays on it. He came back from the x-rays mid-Chad Henne drive. And I kind of thought the way he raced on the field, because he grabbed his helmet was the first thing he did, that he's coming back in. Now, come to find out, he wasn't getting updates whenever he was in the x-ray room and then to the locker room to sort of prove to the trainers that, hey, I can react to pressure okay. And so I think he's rushing on the field just in case the drive's getting ready to start. Come to find out they're in the middle of the drive, and Andy Reid just stuck with Chad Henne for the rest of that drive. But as soon as he came on the field, I thought, he's coming in right now.
Let's ask this question first. Did they do the right thing in putting him back in? Right? He got through the game and didn't get hurt more, right? So, but sometimes, you know, the ends don't always justify the means.
Yeah.
Did they put the most valuable commodity in professional sports in too much harm's way and just got away with it, or did they do the right thing?
So I went back and forth on this throughout the game, so which tells you my answer I don't feel super strongly about, because
not that Mahomes is a commodity, by the way, but we're going to put aside the humanity of it talk about the sports.
Yeah, I mean, he's your best option of winning the Super Bowl is his health, right? So that obviously, I think I wondered if they would have made a different decision if they'd been up like 21-0, for example, if they would have said, hey, let's ride it out with Chad Henne. But I think you had to make a decision for the whole half. I don't think you could have used him in this like closer-like role. Hey, if the game gets close and late, we'll go to him. I think you had to play him the whole half or not play him at all. And so therefore, just because I think him not having played for that amount of time, it was cold outside.
Right, I agree. You got to stay warm, get it up and going.
And we saw it took him a little while to get something going. I mean, the Chiefs' first three drives gained 51 yards in that second half on 14 plays. I mean, I think that played into the fact that they were able to get a drive when they needed one most.
So did they do the right thing?
Yeah, I think ultimately, based on that injury, I think it is what it is. So I think there's a potential he could have gotten hurt worse, but I think there's a potential they could have lost that game. And ultimately, I think it's the type of injury that it was okay to leave up to the player to determine whether or not he finished the game.
I don't like him running, even though he got a first down.
I don't think Andy Reid did either. I did ask Andy Reid about that post game, and I said, was there any sort of instructions to tell him not to do that? And the way he grinned and laughed, you could tell it was I think he said something along the lines of, I didn't like him doing that. And he said, but the minute you have to tell somebody not to do that is the minute they can't be on the field. I think it was more of a suggestion, maybe.
Yeah.
Please don't. please don't run around.
I would tell him not to do it. Like, okay, you can go back out there, but don't, like, you're not. Because you can't, you then have to take an extra step to slide on the other leg, right? And that one step is the difference in the with the speed of the NFL at going down. Trent Green was healthy, and he got knocked unconscious, right? Because he couldn't get down fast enough. And you forget about whether it's a penalty. That's not about it. It's about protecting yourself. That's the point. And so I think in that game, I would have been furious that he took off running because, you know, I'm going to get the first down. And then I'm going to get down. Well, when you're hopping on that one ankle, you can't go into the slide. You take that one extra step to try to get the feet right to get off that ankle, and you can get your clock cleaned. And that was really the only time he ran, though. I think after that, it was...
I don't think it's a coincidence it's the only time he ran. I think there's probably a moment within that play to where even he's thinking exactly what you're saying. Crap, I got to get down here at some point. It's a little bit more time-consuming for me to do so.
He went head first because he couldn't get the legs out in front of him. I agree. Today on the teleconference, do we have him answering Sam's question?
Yes.
Today
about Jacksonville? Yeah, it's number...
About the injury?
Five.
Yeah, number five. This is Sam's question today. We'll just play it. He's had an injury before.
He's had an ankle sprain before in the opener of 2019 in Jacksonville. And he actually re-aggravated that a couple times, which we did not get to in this clip. But Cam Irving backing into him at one point.
Yeah, and stepping on it. I remember that too.
Yeah.
Was he backing into him or
Cam
was
Irving,
he shoved?
Yeah, Cam Irving was
physically
public
put on roller skates.
He was public enemy number one for a night here. A game they lost against the Colts, I think, is what it was.
I think the problem. And then he finally got better when he hurt his knee.
Yeah.
And then the ankle had a chance to get better, which ended up being, a blessing. All right, let's hear it. This is Sam asking Andy Reid if Mahomes' ankle injury is as bad as the one he suffered in that opener against Jacksonville in 19.
Yeah, I think this one isn't quite as bad as that one, Sam. You know, so, but I mean, they're similar. Sore, but not quite the same.
I don't know. This one looked pretty bad to me.
I think you and I were talking about this off air. It's the most telling piece of information he revealed today,
right?
Because we have not had anything to compare this to, and now we do, and so we can say, okay, it's not as bad as the one that he did X, Y, and Z on. And I had the stats up here on the computer because I was looking it up earlier. First of all, he finished the game in Jacksonville with 378, three touchdowns. That was the Sammy Watkins game. Singular, the Sammy Watkins game.
Sure.
Next week, also singular, was the DeMarcus Robinson game. Last game they played in Oakland ever. He went 30 of 44 for 443 and four touchdowns. Took two sacks in the game. Only rushed once and lost a fumble.
Sluggish first quarter, then they went off in the second quarter.
Four touchdowns in the second quarter, right?
Yeah, that was, and there were only four touchdowns
44,
in the game, actually.
42, all, 27, and 39 yards.
But, he played... Actually, in Jacksonville, I think he did take some time off because they were up so much in that game. I want to say he didn't got some snaps in that game.
I think to add to that, I think that was also they were worried because Jacksonville started taking Ramsey specifically. I'll say the name started taking cheap shots. So that's another reason they pulled him out.
At Mahomes,
Watkins once, and I feel like Mahomes on a scramble got pretty in dangerous territory with Ramsey that game too.
Yeah, Matt Moore did throw one pass in there. I'll have to look at the play-by-play.
Oh, that's right. That was the Matt Moore year, yeah. But Mahomes played 100% of the snaps the next 5 weeks, and he dealt with that injury, I think, specifically in that Colts game after Cam Irving got backed into him, and then the Texans game the next week as well. They did lose both of those games, and then, as you mentioned it, then came the knee injury the following week. But Andy Reid's answer gave us a little bit of a baseline that we didn't have before that – Patrick Mahomes has played with this before, and we see on these numbers that he played quite well, in these exact same circumstances.
That's comforting, right? Makes you feel a little better if you're a Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
For sure. That, he put up some big numbers because theoretically he could need them against the Cincinnati Bengals. What did you think of you know, the rest of the effort, the rest of the squad's effort against Jacksonville? Do you think this was going to be a rout if he doesn't go down?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the Chiefs were headed for at least the cover. I thought the secondary was particularly good. I think McDuffie had a good day. Jalen Watson, I thought, was terrific even before the interception. I was a little surprised that because I didn't think Doug Peterson allowed Trevor Lawrence to play as much as I thought he would. And he threw one deep ball that was. I heard the broadcast called the Trevor Lawrence pass and overthrow. Is that right? Collinsworth called that ball.
Oh, Christian the long Kirk. Ball to Kirk. Yeah,
yeah, perfect. I mean, that was a beautiful pass.
You can't. That was within 1%.
But there
of
were a lot of screens, a lot of stuff behind the line of scrimmage, and heck, the Chiefs do a lot of that stuff too. But I didn't think the Jaguars. Well,
you mentioned
much.
That throw. What did I tweet out? I tweeted something out.
That Collinsworth, he was
oh yeah,
like had 72 yards, and Collinsworth was going to propose to him post game.
I said Trevor Lawrence is 9 of 13 for 72 yards, and Chris Collinsworth is going to propose marriage to him after this game is over, because Collinsworth just kept going on and on and on, and I'm like, would you settle down? And then Steve Palazzolo, who I consider a friend, I don't think he meant it maliciously, from Pro Football Focus, said. Are you counting, what did he say, are you counting the one that Christian Kirk, that Lawrence dropped right in Christian Kirk's breadbasket that he dropped? Like, no, I'm not, because drops happen all the time. Are you telling me that one pass elevates him to like, oh my God, this is the shining star of the league?
A lot of MVS drops that we would need to give to Patrick Mahomes in this year.
MVS inability to reach his arms out and catch the ball, taking his 6'4" frame and making his catch radius about 18 inches. I mean, come on. Like, settle down. This happens. I said this going. I said Trevor Lawrence is a fine quarterback, but his career arc is going to be much more Matt Ryan than it is Tom Brady.
I don't disagree with that, but I do think he's a good quarterback. But I agree with you.
Matt
that
Ryan was a good quarterback.
Yeah, Matt Ryan's a good quarterback. I don't think he's one of the top five guys.
We're not going to be
like
going.
That.
Oh my God, it's Mahomes and Burrow and Lawrence. I don't see that. Do you?
I think those two guys will always be in a class above Trevor Lawrence, yeah.
And Herbert?
I think Herbert's in a class above Trevor Lawrence, too.
But Herbert's still a class behind the other two.
Yeah, yeah. I think...
Is Josh Allen in a class behind the other two?
I think he's probably in his own like tier two, yeah. Maybe Herbert's there with him or right below him. We just passed over the fact that like part of Adam's job, I just realized, is to memorize your tweets. Just to say, hey, what I tweet out? Oh, it was
Well, he was the
was
one
this.
Who saw it, because I don't
he's
really...
personal assistant.
I'm not going to say I don't pay attention to all the returns, but... On you know, while I'm watching the game, I'm watching the game. I'm not reading everything that's coming back at me all the time.
Also, yes. During the break, I'll get you your list for Hen House there.
Yeah, thank you.
Grocery,
I appreciate it. Yep. Yeah, do a little shopping. Yeah, I appreciate that. But I think you were the one that saw it, right? Because we were all watching the game together. Didn't you see? Because you asked me, like, is Palazzolo a friend or?
No, I didn't see Palazzolo.
Somebody in the room saw the response.
Yeah.
And asked me, there's like seven or eight of us. Somebody's like, is he coming at you? I said, no, I don't think he's coming at me. It's, you know, he's just pointing it out, which, listen, it's a valid point. I mean, that was a hell of a throw. And
it was a great throw, but I just didn't think Doug Peterson called this. And I think Peterson's a great coach. I don't think he called the sort of game that said, I'm really confident my quarterback's going to win me the game today.
Well, what about being down 27-0 and having run it 19 times in the first half? Last week against the Chargers tells you he feels like he can put it all on his quarterback shoulders.
I think he had at least some evidence and in-game evidence last week that, hey, things aren't going great with the passing game.
Well, he only called 14 runs to his running back.
There were a lot of short passes. I think at one point Lawrence had thrown 23 passes for 90 yards.
But is that the only one, or is that the throw he's taking? Because there are guys downfield that Alex Smith would not throw the ball to.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we Certainly. Know that. Andy Reid's offense didn't mystically there were, like, listen, they evolved the offense around the strengths of the quarterbacks that they have, no doubt. There are more deeper throws with Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith. That's just doing your job as a play caller. But they were not devoid. There was many a Seth Kaiser, look at this guy down here wide open, and he's taking the underneath stuff. Is that Trevor Lawrence? Is that Doug Peterson, or is that Trevor Lawrence?
Probably a combination of both. I thought there were a lot of design wide receiver stuff at the line of scrimmage, though. And I can think of like four plays that you know, we're as soon as the ball was hiked, you got to throw to this guy behind the line of scrimmage to receivers. And like I said, the Chiefs call some of that stuff too. It just really stood out to me how frequently the Jaguars are running those sorts of plays.
Who got the better of it, the Jaguar protection or the Chiefs pass rush?
I think that could be part of what I'm talking about is that, right. that you know they.
But it's not like they didn't have five sacks this time. Would they have two?
They did last time. I think
last time
I think
they had five. But this time they had two.
I think they were concerned about the Chris Jones.
But they were in the backfield a lot.
I think they were concerned about Chris Jones and. I mean, I thought Steve Spagnuolo had one of his better days.
I think so too.
I know you were only supposed to talk about Steve Spagnuolo on the days the Chiefs defense gets torched, but
no.
he had a good day.
I'm a fan of Steve Spagnuolo. I think he's a
well,
quality.
Look at
there's
look not, at they were good.
That's it, that fan club is not large, is what I'm saying.
Okay. The fan club, if you'd go, what are you basing it on?
I don't think that Steve Spagnuolo is a popular guy in this town, do you? I think Steve Spagnuolo does a better job than I think he gets credit for.
I agree.
I think he's got a lot of young players.
You think every winning team's coaching staff is better than they get credit for? Because when you win, nobody wins them all. And so when you win, every loss is a train wreck. And you take any close.
Fire Spags. Yeah, I see a lot.
Well, Andy Reid in short yardage is a moron. I mean, why doesn't he call the good plays? I mean, Andy Reid takes a lot of fire for. The win-loss record would say that just shut up, Andy knows best. There's no shortage of people zinging at Andy Reid. I don't want to get caught in semantics about which coach is more unpopular with the fan base, but I think that he's the play caller on defense, so he's going to take heat. Play callers always do.
Yeah.
You know, score a touchdown in every possession or you screwed something up. Pitch a shutout or you screwed something up. I mean, that's pretty much how I think it works for most people. But you know, it to me, I thought Steve Spagnuolo, and listen, I think he's done a great job. First of all, I will say the strategy of getting rid of all the guys that can't run, and Anthony Hitchens was not here.
That's a front office strategy.
Yes, Anthony Hitchens. I mean, I think it starts there, and then I think Steve Spagnuolo proved I'll coach whatever you give me. And I think. You know, the front office has to continue to do that. And we know, listen, nothing's going on without Andy Reid. And I don't think there's anything Brett Veach has ever wanted to do that Andy Reid stood in the way of, right? I mean, he may have been like, I don't know that we need to bring Sorensen back or something. But I'll bet if Brett Veach ever said, this can't happen, he would make Andy Reid stop and think, and Andy Reid would come to the right decision. But I do think that they need to be empowered by this, like, Anthony Hitchens was here too long. Daniel Sorensen was here too long. Like they're you know, you had to move on. And I think it should empower the organization to continue to turn over the roster and to continue to amass picks. Because how many rookies played a role yesterday? Isaiah Pacheco played a big role. Mentioned Watson. Trent McDuffie played a big role. I mean, George Karlaftis didn't have a sack or anything, but you know, he was out there, part of a defense that played well. I mean, they had a pretty good day for the rookie class.
Yeah, I think part of what they did was throw numbers at
Brian Cook was out there.
Yeah, and Brian Cook falls into this. But I think one of the things they decided to do was just throw numbers at problems. And look, I mean, if they had said, we got a third-round cornerback, their front office has said, hey, look, we already got a cornerback. We got two of them. We took Trent McDuffie and then Josh Williams, you don't need a late round cornerback. Instead, at some point during that draft room, their front office said, cornerback's a problem. Why not get an extra body in there and make these guys compete and the best guys play? And they've alternated who that best guy is. I think if you had just played Jalen Watson all year, if you just played Joshua Williams all year, you would not get the result that you've gotten, which is alternating them, making those guys compete for their time. It's a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason, in the sense that competition does bring out the best in some of these guys.
All right, let's take a break. We'll talk more Chiefs football. Sam McDowell.
Hey, everybody. Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
On this for the Kansas City Stars with us. He's brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. You can enjoy a little happy hour there. 29-degree man-sized draft beer made from scratch menu, the most underrated part of Twin Peaks. The great food that's there, eats, drinks, scenic views. It's all at Twin Peaks.
All right, the good sense. End of the hour answer. Before the 49ers, who was the last team to lead a playoff game at the half without scoring a touchdown?
Was it the Giants against the Niners in the Montana?
If there's a not scoring a touchdown attached to it, you have to guess the Steelers, right?
Steelers over the Chiefs in 2016, led 12-7 on four Chris Boswell field goals.
I did not at all remember what the halftime score of that, but as soon as the way you phrase not scoring a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. The Steelers in the 70s and the Ravens in like 2000 had defenses that were winning games without touchdowns being scored.
Yeah.
So that I would nominate them as well. But yes, that Steeler game was, such a treat.
18-16.
You think the quarterback doesn't matter? Remember how frustrated everyone was with Andy Reid, you know, after that game?
Yeah.
We had a game like that since?
I think the quarterback matters.
I think it matters. I think people know. You know, it's like, Andy Reid's clock management. Clock management is terrible. Now, listen, there's some game management things like short yardage, Sam.
We have to improve the short yardage.
I'd rather see 3rd and 6 than 3rd and 1. They're better at it. Is it not?
How did the Wild West Variety show on every other play?
They're the second best.
Suddenly they're the you know,
they're the second best third down
Steelers.
Second best third down team in the NFL despite all that.
They're the what?
Second best third down team
in the NFL. Yeah, because they convert all the long ones.
Yeah.
They're miserable when it's
short.
That's
what I'm saying. That's how good they are at the medium and
crazy.
Yeah,
and long.
Let's remind people if they didn't hear it earlier on the zone. I asked Andy Reid if the listen. I tried to give him an out. Reps are the most valuable thing. Tim Grunhardt has said that for years. Right, most valuable thing you have in practice is reps. And so I said, look. You got a lot of things going on this year. You had to kind of rework the offense with no Tyreek Hill, bring a lot of new guys in. Is this just a product of the fact that you have to spend so much time on building the offense and getting everybody involved that maybe the reps you'd like to use on short yardage have just fallen through the cracks?
Well, it needed to fall through the cracks the other day. I mean, it was we didn't do a very good job with the quarterback sneak, but. We've had some pretty good snaps at short yardage. Other than that, so anyways, it depends. You know, it depends on which plays we're drawn from here, I guess. But that was not a good showing for sure.
Let's analyze the answer first. By the way, I failed to mention GoodSense. We were playing for GoodSenseSubs.com. I think GoodSense may be in my conference championship game future. GoodSenseSubs.com, loyalty club, get 10% back. Make sure you're part of that loyalty club. It's the best thing going. Don't be just letting Adam get all your loyalty points like his parents do. That's nice. That's awfully generous. But spend 10 bucks today. You got a dollar off next time. Order tonight, GoodSenseSubs.com. Party trays, always a great way as well to make sure your party has the ultimate setup. Let's analyze the answer.
I think he doesn't want to publicly diagnose the problem, but will publicly acknowledge that it's a problem. And
I think
so. I tried to look up their short yardage and try and get more into it, and got about halfway into that homework. And one thing that stood out to me was how frequently they allow pressures on. Third and short when they drop back. So when you just look at third and one situations, I'm using SIS info here. They have they've dropped back in the pocket 13 times on third and one this year. They've only completed 7. They have the most incompletions in the league on third and one. They've been pressured 8 times. Nobody else in the league has been pressured more than 5 times. So 8 of the 13 times that they've dropped back on third and one, they've been pressured on them. I think typically third and one, what you do is try and get a quarterback into space to where there's nobody in his space, because a lot of teams are expecting, if you're going to pass the ball, you're usually going to be have some sort of play action involved with it, which, by the way, Mahomes' play action, even though teams are expecting the pass with when they play the Chiefs, Mahomes' play action numbers are still considerably better than when they don't play action.
Play action seems to always work. It's just,
it doesn't matter how much you
it's
run.
Like
it doesn't matter how much
it's
you
like when
run.
You act like you're going to punch somebody in the face.
Yeah, it doesn't
They're
matter if you're
pretty
never,
much always going to flinch.
If they've never been punched in the face before, if you've never punched anybody in the face before, they still see that action and they still react to it. So I wonder, and that's why when I said that I've gone through about half of the homework on that, I just wonder how many of those involve play action and if they're not using that enough. Obviously, we know one of the key plays that everybody else in the league likes to use, the Chiefs or not. That has to play into it.
That's the quarterback sneak or the full-on wedge.
Maybe they should have acted like Mahomes got hurt on the play before so that at least Henny could have run the quarterback sneak. I don't know.
Well, how about bring Henny in and run it?
Yeah.
He can still throw out of it.
I think that's the whole thing to me is that at least if Henny's in the game, he's a guy that, I mean, he could throw the ball. It's a threat. Noah Gray being behind center, everybody knows what play that's going to be.
Remember, did I have this conversation with you? What's more important, holding or punting?
No.
Relative to what? Is that right? When we were going through the whole Tommy Townsend
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, sure.
And I had this debate with some people, and they're like, oh, the punting. I'm like, really? Do you think? Like, the points they're taking off the board as opposed to finding just the average guy off the street. If you can find the best holding punter out there, and he punted 5 yards net less than Tommy Townsend, which would put him down towards the bottom, how much is 5 yards versus the quantity of points that they've left off? I guarantee you all the analytics would say 5 yards, which is midfield or further back, is not worth the points that they're leaving off the board. Well, I will ask you this. How much is converting third and one? How important is it? So I will ask you, why not a running quarterback specialist that comes out, can still throw, but can also run, that you're willing to sacrifice the physicality of the position to just get under center and go? Why do they not? They've clearly... This is a trend that's been gaining momentum for not just this year. It started last year, and it's gaining momentum. Why not sacrifice a position on the roster and have a guy that this is what he does? We'll run him out of the wildcat. We'll put him in the quarterback sneak. He can at least do a jump pass. I mean, if you could get Tim Tebow, who wasn't Tim Tebow with all the crap that comes with him, but the Tim Tebow of Toledo, and you sign him as a college free agent.
It's a good nickname, first of all. Tim Tebow of Toledo.
Yeah, there you go. You bring him in, and he can run with physicality and power, and you plug him in. Is that not worth more than whatever you're getting from? And this is part of why I'm like, stop filling your roster with kick coverage guys and kick return guys. And if you had this guy and you knew you had, okay, we've got the cheat code for third and one. You know, fourth and one. If you knew you had the cheat code for getting 1 yard, how much more would you be aggressive on third and say, it's fine, we'll come back and get it on fourth and go for it on fourth? Like, isn't that, like, I sometimes I think there's some obvious quick math that could lead you to better roster construction than what not just this team, but all teams do.
If you had a guy that could be that successful, I guess I'm not aware of how successful could the best guy at doing that be.
No one's tried.
But if he is, you know, does have that sort of success rate, absolutely, it's worth having a guy like that on your roster.
By the way, just comparing them to the Bills and Bengals on third and one, running plays, Chiefs 8 of 15 conversions, Bills 20 of 25 on running plays, Bengals 14 of 20. So
the Bengals are 70, the Bills are 80, and the Chiefs are
53%
what?
53% overall.
On running it.
Passing it, they're only 6 of 14 on passing plays.
That is like staggering. Because what
43% on passing plays. Bills are 5 of 9, Bengals are 7 of 9. So overall, third down conversions, Buffalo 73.5.
It doesn't shock
Bengals,
me that 72.4. Buffalo's
Chiefs are under 50%.
Yeah, Buffalo's got the running quarterback.
They've got the quarterback that will run. He's a real threat to run, so you have to divide up your forces to make sure somebody accounts for him no matter what, which gets receivers more open. I get that. That's kind of my point.
Well, the Chiefs are 9 of 15 on 3rd and 10. They have a higher percentage on 3rd and 10 than they do on 3rd and 1. 14 of 29 on
3rd and 1. I'd
be curious, like, to Seren's point, what Taysom Hill's numbers, for example, are on 3rd and short. Because I think he's the type of guy you're
talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Not talking about paying him $10 million a year. Like the Saints are, you end up in cap hell with goofy decisions like that. And wasting a draft pick to go get another guy like him to back them up. They did that a couple years ago. Remember, that's the pick they got in trouble for because they traded back in. They'd been talking to the player, and who was it? The Mississippi State quarterback. They jumped. I'm like, how many? Do you want all the? Do you want five Taysom Hills to line up at once? Is that really the dream here, Sean? So, by the way, have fun. Whatever team gives Sean Payton $25 million and then gives him all the personnel control because they didn't
and
get
draft
to the,
picks. Yeah.
They didn't get to the cap situation.
Have no personnel left to control.
They didn't get to the cap situation they're in because Sean Payton was like not part of what was going on down there. Trust me, it went horribly wrong really fast in New Orleans at the end. But like that's my point. Is like I don't know that you're seeing the big picture, and you know it's kind of like. I don't think you were there. I don't know if you were on. You were out and about because normally you're always out there. Maybe you were and you were somewhere else. I don't know. But were you there when – I don't think you were out there when Tobe talked this past week?
No. Dealing with strep throat last week.
Oh, is that what it was?
Great timing, yeah.
Oh, God, it sucks. We're all sick again. We're all back together and sick again. Have fun. So I asked him – and I can't remember what my jumping off point was. And Dave doesn't like to let you finish a question before he begins to let you know. I already know where you're going.
Yeah.
And I got the answer for it, which is a weakness, by the way. What the hell was I getting at? I can't remember.
It was about whether
I know what the question was.
It comes to a point where you go to a head coach and say it's not there. That one.
Oh yeah, I think it was about Mar.
Yeah.
And I used Mar as a jumping off point because he got a question about that. I said. Well, have you ever been at a point where I go, hey, he can't do it, so don't go to me. Like, I know you want to show confidence. And I know the Cowboys had it going, and they want to show confidence, and they keep doing it. But finally they went, no, fourth down, we're going for it, and they converted. Like, for the wrong reason, they made the right decision.
Right.
And it paid dividends, right? And he's like, I said, that's your job. He said, yeah. That's my job, he said. And then he got asked a follow-up about it, and he said, I was kind of trying to think when he was asking the question, meaning me, if I'd ever done that, and I never have. The exercise isn't just for him, and it's not just for kickers. The exercise is like, have you ever gone, like, let's take it over to Andy Heck. Do you ever walk over and go, Andy, Andrew Wiley cannot handle Von Miller. Stop asking him to, when you're asking him questions about, you got to get that kick step out there, and you got to get, and Tim was doing that one day, and I go, yeah, but stop. No, we have to help him, or we have to cut him and throw some quick hitters. We have to get him, like, you have to change your operation. And I thought that was telling of Dave Tobe. He's like, yeah, it's our job. Like, they can see a scenario like, God, if I had Mar, I'd say don't do it. But I thought about it, and I've never done it. Like, retreating against overwhelming forces is the sign of a smart general. Football coaches never do it. Never.
Because they have post-game – the generals didn't have post-game press conferences and tweet deck. And video. Someone going, oh, okay, general, that was a wonderful move. Why did you do that?
I mean,
how'd they get that picture of Washington crossing the Delaware then?
Well, like, aren't we far enough into the season where Andy goes, look, the tackle eligible and Blake Bell with Burton in front and the dive play – it's not working.
I think we're there on the Burton play, yeah.
So let's let's go four wide and just do what we do.
You can get 8 yards on third. It's allowed. And it's probably maybe easier given you're playing a team that's ready to go for a third and one.
He wads up the play card and eats it.
I think that was one of the other things that stood out to me, by the way, Curtis, is they've only, on the third 13 passes, got 81 yards.
Well,
even
you want to know why?
Even on their completion.
You want to know why? Because they run 4 3-yard button hooks.
Yeah. They got like, one with Chad Henne the other day, by the way, which was his pick on the play sheet. That might have been more like 1.5.
Which that play, the only people that apparently didn't know that play was coming were the
right
Jaguars. Because it's the same play they ran to Tyreek Hill when Chad Henne was in against the Browns. And then they ran a little bit later.
They ran it against the Bucs earlier that year on a fourth down play to seal the game.
And they ran it against the Browns to get the first down to seal the game.
Yeah.
I'm like, I even said we were all watching. I said, well, they scout nothing in that Jacksonville defensive room.
Because
we've all seen that play.
Yeah, nothing with Tyreek Hill. They're like, well, that guy's gone. That play's
gone.
Yeah,
we're good. Yeah, it's out. But I mean,
that play could only have worked with Hill.
Come on, isn't it incomprehensible how atrocious they are?
It is. The red zone issues, I used to be able to quasi-explain to say, hey, this team works better with more open field to work with.
Yeah.
The third and short is more confusing because that's no longer part of the equation. You still potentially could have, like Curtis mentioned, you can still go deep. You can still get eight. You can throw it.
You can throw a high percentage
pass.
You
can throw it eight.
That's not 1 yard.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of other plays you can run still.
Well, you'd have to run a route that went more than a yard.
There's 100 plays, I'm sure, and in their offense where they can.
You know what the play is? We ran it in the fourth grade out on blacktop. Everybody just go and turn around. I'll hit you. I mean, that's literally what they do when they throw it. And when they run it, it's like, okay, fatty, fall forward.
That was the Mike Leach offense, right? Everyone just run vertical, and at some point when you're open, stop.
It wasn't just there. You know, Pacheco got stuff too.
What's funny is they have the most pass attempts on third and
they do.
One of any team.
Yeah, most dropbacks too, yeah.
Which doesn't seem that way. That stuns me. 14.
Which, like, if you're successful at everything else, you actually run the ball well when you want to run the ball.
Yeah.
And then now all of this doesn't work. Like, I'm a giant Andy Reid fan, a huge defender of Andy Reid. That all falls on just one guy. You know? I've spent 10 years defending him. 95% of the time, the criticism he gets is not warranted. It's indefendable. I've looked. I gave my best shot to him as a vine to take, and he's a joke cheeseburger.
Forget it.
Next, you know, I stole that joke from Curtis during the break. So.
Look over there, cheeseburger.
Full disclosure.
Yada yada yada.
We'll take a break. More with Sam McDowell. He's brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. Great spot to watch your ball game, boxing match, you name it. College basketball, big Monday. The spot, it's Twin Peaks. TwinPeaksRestaurant.com. 29-degree. Man-sized draft beer, a made-from-scratch menu that's second to none, and of course the most scenic views in towns. That's what it's all about. Eats, drinks, scenic views at Twin Peaks.
Hey everybody, Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Wrapping things up here with Sam McDowell, columnist for the Kansas City Star, brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. So what do you think this week, Sam? What's your prediction?
I think with a healthy Mahomes, I was going to pick the Chiefs.
Yeah,
I think
too.
Based on where things are, I think 55-45, but I lean towards Cincinnati. The one element of the game I'm particularly interested in is the Bengals have played a certain type of defense against the Chiefs, you know, particularly rushing three frequently, but also even when they do bring four guys, they have their defensive linemen stay in their lanes. They try and not allow him to scramble. Basically, the gist of their strategy is if he gets out of the pocket, we're going to get him because we've got guys waiting for him to get out of the pocket. They spy him. He's not going to make plays. He's going to have to be a pocket passer. His ankle is going to kind of have to make him be a pocket passer. And it's already taking care of that piece for them. And so I wonder if Cincinnati is going to switch up what they do because they're like, we don't have to spy him. We don't have to spend a guy, take a defensive end and drop him back 4 yards to make sure that Patrick Mahomes can't scramble. They've been really successful with that defense. I looked it up, and they had last year in the playoff game, for example, Mahomes scrambled 9 times, went out of pocket 9 times. 9 of his dropbacks, he left the pocket. 3 of those times he got sacked. This year, Mahomes has left the pocket 121 times. He's been sacked 1 time. So the Bengals are the anomaly in the way they're able to get Patrick Mahomes when he leaves the pocket. And it's what their strategy is built on. And now that Patrick Mahomes has the potential to be hobbled, I wonder what's going on in the Bengals meeting rooms this week. Yeah.
Yeah. Do they say, we're not going to fix what ain't broke? Or do they say, well, wait a minute.
It's not the same guy. Yeah.
It's not the same guy. Maybe he plays back at us a way we don't want him to play because he doesn't have the wheels.
Yeah.
Or does it render him basically toothless?
And are they anticipating the Chiefs are going to throw a lot more quicker passes? Do they feel like they can bring, because usually they don't play the two deep shell usually. Are they going to bring their one safety close to the line of scrimmage, play more of that robber thief defense against Travis Kelce? Because that's something they like to do as well.
The chess match. It'll be fun no matter what. Sam, always fun talking to you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
Over the last 25 years, as Kansas lost back-to-back games in the same state. Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.